Good evening. I love singing. I love it more than I am good at it, if that makes sense. But one of the things that I really love about being here and worshiping together is that I've taken to sitting on the front pew so that I have less walking to do, and hearing everybody who's behind me singing. First of all, it's a glorious thing to lift up praise in a single voice to God, as we see in Ephesians, making mention to that. But to hear the unique sounds of each individual, I've sat in different spots in the auditorium, and so you hear different people. My favorite is sitting in front of the kids who sing out their best. That's just such an encouraging thing to hear. So I wanted to remark on that and thank you for being an edifying group of brothers and sisters. Tonight I wanted to give a lesson that I've kind of wanted to do for a while now. Last week, last Sunday night, we talked about bearing with one another and bearing with the weak especially. We talked about these kinds of issues and how we as Christians, how we in the body need to deal with those things. Since I'll be gone next week and the week after that, this is my last chance to get a sermon for this month in for this group here. And usually the last Sunday of the month is when I like to focus on the congregation and on the church and on what we need to be doing to stand up for Jesus as a congregation and as a group, as a body of believers. And so tonight I kind of want to talk about that, but like I said, this has been something that was on my mind and I was reminded of it by a member, so it's a kind of request, I guess you could say. But I want to talk about one another. Let's talk about one another, shall we? One another. We're going to look at some of the times that this is used in the New Testament. It's used a bunch of times. Plenty of those times are just "then they said to one another." And so I'm not going to make a whole sermon out of those things. But in terms of why we are going to look at these two words, one another, it's because 58 New Testament commands specify one another. So we are going to look at all 58 of these commands. If you're taking notes or you want to study this, and hopefully you want to study this throughout the week, I encourage you to write down the references. All the references will be up on the board, or the wall anyway. So I encourage you to take notes on that and to take them home. This will be available on Facebook and on the website. I'll make the even the slideshow and the outline available online this week because this is such a scripture-heavy sermon. We're looking at 58 passages this evening. And that is because standing up for Jesus is the congregational theme, and we want to understand how we can be a good church who stands up for Jesus, and there's things that we need to do in our lives with one another and to one another and for one another that we're going to look at tonight. The way that I've organized this is by how many times a thing is commanded. We're going to look at 18. We have 18 points, if you will, so we're going to move quickly. But we're going to look at 18 commands that we have in the New Testament. And we're going to start with the things that are mentioned or commanded once, and then the things that are commanded twice and three times and four times, six times and 17 times, spoiler, because that's how things break down. So I think this is super interesting, and I'm breaking it down this way for mainly it was easier for me as a presenter to show them in this order. But I want us to understand that the number of times something is mentioned both is and is not significant. The fact that something is mentioned 17 times, as we're going to look at, is beyond profound. And if there's anything you take out of the Bible, it's that thing that's mentioned 17 times, which I'm going to really try not to spoil for you until we get there. If you're thinking about the one another commands, you might be able to guess it by the time we get there. But we're going to look at five things that are commanded once, and these are no less binding on us than the things that are mentioned twice, three times, four times, six times, 17 times, etc. Okay? So I want us to understand that as we get into this. And so, again, for my ease in compiling these 18 points, we're going by quantity, and within each quantity, it's going to be more or less alphabetical. Okay? So that's all my disclaimers, and after this, we're just getting into this. So the first one another command that I'd like us to look at is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4 verse 32, we're told to be kind to one another. And that's exactly what it says. The first five words there in Ephesians 4 and verse 32 very simply and plainly state, be kind to one another. The fact that it's put so bluntly and so boldly hopefully means that I don't have to spend a whole lot of time talking about it. We are commanded to be kind to one another. We're also commanded in Colossians 3 and verse 9 to be honest with one another, or specifically as it's written by Paul to the church in Colossae in Colossians 3 and verse 9, do not lie to one another. You and I have the obligation, and we're going to look at the command to speak to one another here in just a minute. We have a command to communicate and to have dialogue and to get to know each other, right? We are commanded not to lie to one another. We're also commanded not to lie at all. I'm just going to throw that out there. But we're commanded specifically in the way that we treat each other not to lie to one another. The next one another command we'll look at that's commanded once is to comfort one another. Comfort one another. This is a beautiful commandment. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18. There is a specific way to comfort one another that he's giving here. The command in and of itself, I think, stands, and that'll show in the other things that we'll look at. But in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. And if you're turning there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and if you're going back there this week to study this, these words is referring to Paul explaining what's going to happen in the final day. He's explaining what is going to happen that he says, I want to write to you concerning those who have, the Christians who have died. Right? And he explains what's going to happen in the final day, that those who are dead will be caught up in the air, and then those who remain will be caught up with them. We're supposed to comfort one another with these words. It is profound, and it's been kind of a reminder for me. I've been trying this one out lately. When somebody talks to me and tells me about things that are going on, things that they're struggling with, things that frustrate them in politics and the world today, things that are driving them crazy in their home life, their work life, their political life, whatever kind of part of their life, it's always comforting to say, aren't you glad this is all going to be over? And aren't you glad that we've won? Aren't you glad that we have heaven to look forward to? It's an immense comfort, and it overpowers any stressor that I in my 24 years of life have come across. Commanded to comfort one another. Like I mentioned, we're commanded to speak to one another. This is an interesting one in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, and we're told how to speak to one another. But there in Ephesians 5 and 19, we're told speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. These are some of the ways that we're to speak to one another. We get the sense through the New Testament that backs up the fact that in addition to singing to one another, which is something that we do in worship and as often as we can, hopefully, James tells us, if anyone is happy, let him sing, right? In addition to these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you and I have an obligation to communicate with one another, to communicate honestly and not lying to one another, as we saw in Colossians 3 and verse 9. But we're commanded here in Ephesians 5 and verse 19 to speak to one another. Yes, specifically through songs, but that does not mean that we're commanded to live lives in musicals, right? We're supposed to speak to one another. The last one another command that we see exactly once is to wait for one another. wait for one another. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 33. Studying that, you'll find the context there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, of course, to be talking about the partaking of the Lord's Supper and how it was being abused and the different things that were going on, the way it was being misused and mistreated. The command there in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 33 is to wait for one another. Approximately five times, if I'm remembering correctly, in that passage is also the word together. Together. So we understand that the Lord's Supper that we partake of on the first day of the week is something that we're supposed to do together. And we are supposed to wait for one another and be patient with one another, as we see in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 33. Now let's look at some things that are commanded twice. Things that are commanded twice. And we have more of these than the rest, so we'll kind of hopefully stick to a tight time budget. We're told twice to admonish one another. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, Paul writes, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." We're commanded to admonish one another there, and he states it in a way expressing that he is convinced that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. So we don't just admonish or chastise or correct one another or reprove one another. We do so based on goodness and knowledge. We want to appreciate the conditions there in Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Also in Colossians 3 and verse 16, another place we're commanded to sing. We're familiar with this. It says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom." Again, this kind of concept being talked about. "With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Again, we combine this with Romans 15 and a little bit of common sense, and we understand that we're not supposed to admonish one another exclusively through song. It's through teaching and correcting and talking to one another. So twice in the New Testament we see the command to admonish one another. We're also commanded twice to be devoted to one another. Most expressly in Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10, Paul writes, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Be devoted to one another. How much do you think about what that really means and what that looks like? Being devoted to one another. We talk about serving each other, and we're going to look at that. We talk about humbling ourselves and not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We think about preferring others over ourselves. But how often do we think about being devoted to one another? That's something that Christians are commanded to do. I have a commandment to be devoted to you. And you have a commandment to be devoted to one another and to me. We have that command, and I think that's something that we need to chew on. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 15. It's stated slightly differently, but I think the concept here applies. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 15. "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." Always seek after that which is good for one another. I think that puts a finer touch on the point of being devoted to one another. It's an explanation, or the Bible's being its own best commentary here. We're to be devoted to one another. What does that look like? It means always seeking what is good for one another. I am supposed to be always seeking what is good for each of you. Always. Always. That's a pretty strong word. It's as strong as the word devoted. We're not occasionally or part-time devoted to anything. We're devoted, and we are always seeking after that which is good for one another. We're also told twice in Romans to be of the same mind toward and of the same mind with one another. Romans 12 has a lot of these, actually, but Romans 12 and verse 16 It says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Right? So we have the commandment there in Romans 12, verse 16, to be of the same mind toward one another. What we're going to understand more and more as we go through these and understand and appreciate what it is that, how it is that we're supposed to treat one another, we're going to understand that this is an attitude of humility and that we are all competing to be the lowest, in a sense. We are all competing to put the other first before they put us first. I'll tell just one story, even though we may not have time for it, but that's putting you guys first and your dinner plans first. Preacher tells a story about starting to pay attention to more than his own little world and kind of starting to look around and see what he can do for other people. And one of the things that he noticed is that he had an elderly neighbor who always really struggled. He was faithful, but he always struggled to put his trash out every week. It was just a hard thing. Sometimes the cans got heavy, so on and so forth. And so he said, well, trash day is tomorrow, so I'll just go ahead and take theirs out with mine. No big thing. Well, next week, it was even earlier the day before trash day or garbage pickup day, and the neighbor had put out both of the trash cans. And so they had this competition. They almost had a feud going on for several weeks of who could put each other's trash cans out first because they were both trying to serve one another. They were both trying to put one another first. So they were constantly trying to beat one another. Eventually, I hope that they just decided to leave their garbage cans out. I don't know. But when we talk about being of the same mind toward one another and that wrapped into this concept of being humble and not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think, if we're all doing that, if we are all lowering ourselves and humbling ourselves and emptying ourselves to be like Christ in Philippians 2, right, then that's something that's going to happen, right? So I think that's what it's talking about. Later in Romans chapter 15, now in verse 5, he's lifting up an encouraging prayer on behalf of the church there in Rome. He says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. That's his prayer for the church there in Rome, that they be of the same mind with one another. It's important that we do all that's in our power to be of the same mind with one another. We're also commanded twice in the New Testament, this time twice in James chapter 5, not to speak against or complain about one another. In James chapter 5, we're going to look first at verse 9 and then verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 9 says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And then later in James chapter 5 and verse 16, I'm sorry, that's not correct. Five and verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. So that's not exactly what I was looking for. I apologize for that. That'll be corrected when things go up online tomorrow. We are told twice. I just had the reference wrong. I apologize for that. So we are told twice to not speak against or complain about one another. And it's a pretty important thing and an easy thing for us to slip into a habit of complaining about each other and saying, oh, look, listen to what so-and-so did to me or what they did and what they're struggling with. Don't do that. We're commanded specifically not to complain against one another. I'm sorry, James 4 verse 11 tells us, do not speak against one another. There we have it. James 4 verse 11. It is twice in James. Just James 4 verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. The command there to not speak against one another, and then in 5 verse 9, not to complain against one another. Makes it pretty clear how we're to talk about one another, whether we're in each other's presence or not. Another interesting one that I want to kind of, I already have an asterisk for it or a note about it in the slide here. But we're also told twice in the New Testament not to judge one another. Now, we need to understand what he means here, and I've helped you out with the parenthetical in the title of this slide. Do not judge, meaning do not condemn one another. We are told explicitly to judge those inside the body in 1 Corinthians 6, or 5 and 6 specifically commands us to judge those inside the body. We're commanded to do that. We're not supposed to judge those outside the world. But in Romans 14, verse 3 and 15, verse 7, we're told not to judge one another. Or in 15 verse 7, we'll see we're told to accept one another. In Romans 14 verse 13, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. This is in no way contradicting the command that Paul himself also makes to the Corinthians that we are to judge one another. We are to judge one another in the way we think about judging. We are not to judge one another in the term meaning condemning one another and pronouncing judgment on or against each other. We're not supposed to do that. And in Romans 14 specifically, there's the context of making judgment decisions or decisions based on judgment, like eating meat, celebrating different various days and feasts and things like that. We're not supposed to condemn each other for these things. Romans 15 and verse 7, as I mentioned, says, therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. That's in contrast to judging one another. Do not judge one another or condemn each other, rather. Rather, accept one another. We are supposed to accept one another. We're also told twice in the New Testament, more than twice, but we're talking specifically about this wording, right? We're told twice to forgive one another. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, we saw it starts with be kind to one another. Then it goes on to say in that same verse, tender-hearted, forgiving each other or forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Colossians 3 and verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We see that we are to be forgiving towards one another. Those are the things that we're told to do twice in Scripture. We also have things that are commanded three times in Scripture in terms of one another commandments. And one of those is to bear with one another, to bear each other's burdens is commanded three times in the New Testament. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 2 tells us, and we'll go ahead and read verses 1 and 2, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another. That's the idea of bearing with, enduring, being patient with, showing tolerance for one another in love. Colossians 3 and verse 13 also, again, tells us, bearing with one another. And as we read, forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, as the Lord forgave you. So there three times in the New Testament we see specifically, pretty clearly, that we're supposed to bear with one another and to bear each other's burdens. This idea that when we stand up for Jesus, we're not standing up alone. And if our brother or sister in Christ is struggling to stand up for Jesus, we don't cast them out. We don't shame them. We rally around them and support them and help them to stand up for Jesus. These are the kinds of commands that we see in the New Testament. We also see three commands to be at peace with one another. In Mark 9 and verse 50, Mark 9 verse 50 says, salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Something tells me there's a lot more to that verse than we have time to get into tonight. Romans 14 and verse 19 tells us that, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. We're to make peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13 also tells us to live in peace with one another. Three times in the New Testament, he tells us to be at peace with one another. we need to work on making sure that we're abiding by that and that we're doing everything in our power. It's not a one another command, so I didn't put it in our slides, but in Romans 12, we're told, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Right? So as much as depends on you, be at peace with one another, work through our issues, speak honestly to one another, admonish one another, and get to the bottom of these issues, not condemning each other, but striving to be at peace and of one mind with one another. Those are the threefold one another commands, if you will. The one another commands we see four times in the New Testament. We're going to look at three of these. First of all, we see four times to build up one another. Romans 14, verse 19, as we just read, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. Build up one another, just as you also are doing. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, Hebrews 3 and verse 13 tells us, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. There we see a pretty specific reason to build up or to encourage one another, so that we're not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need to make sure that we take time to encourage and build one another up. Also in Hebrews, we're familiar with verses 24 through 25. It said, actually twice in here, you could argue that this is the one command we see five times in the New Testament. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, he says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. I would call that a kind of encouragement. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but rather encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. 3:13 put it, as long as it is still called today. While we have the opportunity, while we are here together on Sundays and Wednesdays is an awesome time to do this, but it should not be the only time that we take to do this. We need to be devoted to one another and encourage one another and build one another up. We're also commanded four times in the New Testament to greet one another. Did you know that? We're commanded to greet one another four different times in the New Testament. And in all of these, we see that same controversial phrase that we'll look at. Romans 16, verse 16, we're familiar with. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, here in verse 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 12 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5 and verse 14, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all who are in Christ. So not focusing for tonight's purposes on the holy kiss part, but on the fourfold command in the New Testament to greet one another. We're commanded to greet one another. Commanded to greet one another. It's an easy enough thing. Let's make sure that we do this and get better at this. We're also commanded four times in the New Testament to serve one another. And I'm reducing some of this for the sake of including the one in John chapter 13. If you're familiar with John chapter 13 off the top of your head, Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet. And what does he command them to do? He says, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That idea I talked about competing to be the lowest and the humblest, if we're all doing this, maybe that manifests itself in washing each other's feet. Sure. Generally, the idea here being that we are serving one another. We are commanded to serve one another, even to the point of washing each other's feet. If I'm commanded to wash your feet, what is accepted from the realm of what I'm supposed to do for you as one who is devoted to you, per the commandment we saw earlier? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, we see a similar command. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, he says, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. as members of the same body, it's in our own best interest to take care of each other and to make sure that we're all doing okay. Again, even to the point of washing each other's feet. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, "You were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Serve one another. 1 Peter 4, verses 9 and 10, we see the command to be hospitable to one another, and without complaint. And in verse 10, he, I think, expounds on that. He says, "As each one has received a spiritual gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We are, once again, commanded these four times in the New Testament to serve one another. And that's just including the times that it specifically says one another, right? So let's serve one another. There's one thing that's mentioned six times, commanded six times to do, and that is to give preference to one another. Give preference to one another. We saw Romans 12 and verse 10 began with, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." It continues, "Give preference to one another in honor." We're to give preference to one another. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7, "Actually then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded?" The context here being that they were not supposed to be taking each other to court, but they were. And we as Christians today ought not take one another to court. We're supposed to settle that among ourselves and find wise people in the fold of God to settle these things. But notice the attitude that he enjoins to that commandment, to stop suing each other. He says, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? It would be better as Christians, it would be wiser as Christians to allow ourselves to be wronged and defrauded. Not things that we take lightly as Americans who have rights against these things and legal means to make sure these things don't happen. It is better, it is wiser for us to allow ourselves to prefer even to be wronged and defrauded than to sue one another. That is definitely giving preference to one another. That is definitely an attitude of giving preference to somebody even in the situation where they wrong or defraud you. Galatians 5 and verse 26, "Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." If we're going to avoid doing those things, we need to give preference to one another. If I'm giving preference to you, I'm not going to challenge you. I'm not going to envy you. I'm going to strive to serve you and give preference to you. Ephesians 5 and verse 21, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Very plainly, again, be subject to one another. Philippians 2 and verse 3, right before he talks about letting this mind be in you that was also in Christ. There in Philippians 2 and verse 3, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." We need to be giving preference to one another. We need to be thinking higher of others than we do of ourselves. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 tells us to clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Surround your entire being in humility toward one another. Some powerful things we're told six times in these different ways to give preference to one another. Finally, and I won't drag you through all 17 of these, but what do you think it is that's commanded 17 times to do to one another? Love. Yeah. 17 times in the span of 16 verses over the course of 11 different chapters in the New Testament. 17 times we're commanded to love one another. We see them listed here. First of all, I would like to read for you John 13, verses 34 through 35. The same chapter in which he's washed the disciples' feet. He says, "Then a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Three times in two verses, he says, love one another. That's just in those two verses. John talks by far the most out of any of the New Testament writers about love and how we are to love one another and how much God loved us. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son, or begotten son, excuse me. He expresses very clearly in all throughout his writing the love that we're supposed to have in chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. This I command you in verse 17, that you love one another. Romans 13 and verse 8. Lost my spot there. Romans 13 verse 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. You have 17 times in these scriptures that we're told to love one another. Do you think it's important? If we're expected to be kind to one another because he told us once to be kind to one another, do you think we're supposed to obey the thing he tells us to do 17 times? I do. I certainly think that we need to love one another. And what's great about all of this is that when we love one another, it's going to show itself in the way that we take care of all these other one another commandments. Love really does fulfill the law. If I love you, then I will greet you, I will build you up, I will serve you, give preference to you, I will be at peace with you, bear your burdens and bear with you, I will admonish you, be devoted to you, be of the same mind toward you and with you, I will not complain against you if I love you, I will not condemn you if I love you, I will forgive you if I love you, I will wait for you, I will speak to you, I will comfort you, I will be honest with you, I will be kind to you if I love you. 17 verses, 17 times rather, he tells us how to do the 17 things we looked at before this. I think it's profound, the things that the scripture puts emphasis on. This maybe hasn't been an entertaining sermon to sit there and listen to you, and I appreciate that that's not what you're here for. Hopefully that's not what you're here for. But it is an important lesson in today's world to know how we are to treat one another. We live in a world that is so perverted and so wrong on these fronts, and that does not want us to love one another as Christ loved us. It's a world that has a very differing view and a very different and unbiblical view on how to treat one another. But the Bible, the ultimate standard, God's final word, tells us exactly how to treat one another. And when it comes down to it, everything that we do is to be done in love and in the name of the Lord, right? So this evening, if you're here and you need to change your life, you need to change how you've been treating one another, then we want to make an opportunity for you to make that known so that we can bear with one another. If you need to confess your sins to one another, this is an opportunity, not the only way to do that, but this is a place where we can confess our sins to one another and pray for one another and build one another up in any way that we need to. If we need to share more of the gospel with you, if you need to be convinced of your call, as we talked about this morning, to offer up your life as a living sacrifice to God and to put on Christ through the waters of baptism, if that's something you need to do this evening, we want you to do that as well. In all things, let us love one another. If we can love you better, let us know how and come forward as together we stand and sing.